Thank you, President Tanner. I'd have you remember a remark of Brother Marvin J. Ashton in his very excellent address today, when he said, "No home is a failure until they give up on that son or that daughter or that husband or that wife. We must not give up, no matter how difficult the task, to save one of ours." Horace Mann, that great educator somewhere back sometime in the time of Abraham Lincoln, the story was told how he was a speaker at the dedication of a great boys' school. And in his talk, he said, this school has cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. But if it's if this school is able to save one boy, it's worth all that it costs." And one of his friends came up to him at the close of the meeting, and he said, "You let your enthusiasm get away with you, didn't you? You don't mean that what you said, that if this school costing hundreds of thousands of dollars were to save just one boy, it was worth all that it cost. Now, you surely don't mean that." Horace Mann looked at him and he said, "Yes, my friend, it would be worth it if that one boy were my son. It would be worth it. I want you to know it would be worth it if it were my grandson or one of mine. It would be worth it if it were one of yours." As I listen to these talks today, there's been a thread of concern about the terrible situations that confront the youth of today, and pleading for the coaches who should be coaches to teach the quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks not to be the men on the field but to do their job of quarterbacking, and the coaches not to try to be the quarterbacks but to be sure of their coaching. I came across a statement from the late President Dwight Eisenhower in the Reader's Digest some years ago. He said, "Unfortunately, many people nowadays have become so bemused by the excesses of a small minority of American youth that they forget to note the decency and intelligence of the overwhelming majority. This is a great injustice to you young folks and a disservice to America." Judge Lester N. Lovell of Montana, who had done so much to check juvenile delinquency in his state, has said that 97% of our youngsters today are as good as those of any generation, but the 3% who are hoodlums are worse. I might go one step beyond and suggest that in a good many ways, today's young people are better than my own generation. Certainly, you are better educated, better informed about the world, have a far broader outlook on life than we did at your age. Moreover, most of you I talk with, and I do talk with hundreds every year in student and political gatherings and elsewhere, have fine motives and sound moral attitude. As I read that, I recalled a statement made by Dr. Fisher, who was educational director in the Boy Scouts of America, who here in the assembly hall made an interesting mark. He said, "If the youth of today were not twice as good as were the youth of two generations ago, they wouldn't be half as good as they are." And if you analyze that, I think you can understand why he'd make that remark. May I conclude now by reading you something that means something beyond what we can do in teacher development, in leadership training, or in library material providing. And this was said by the Lord in a great revelation. Behold, it is not meet that I should command in all things. For he that is compelled in all things, the same as a slothful and not a wise servant, wherefore he receiveth no reward. Verily I say unto you, men should be anxiously engaged in a good work, and do many things of their own free will and bring to pass much righteousness. For the power is in them wherein they are agents unto themselves. And inasmuch as men do good, they shall in no wise lose their reward. But he that doeth not anything until he is commanded, and receiveth a commandment with a doubtful heart, and keepeth it with slothfulness, the same is damned. I command, and men obey not, and I revoke, and they receive not the blessing. Then they say in their hearts, this is not the work of the Lord, for his promises are not fulfilled. But woe unto such, for their reward lurketh beneath, and not from above. Brethren of the priesthood, in your own circles, in your own home, in your own lives, you must do all you can of your own free will and bring to pass much righteousness. Our job and your job, my job, is to look after the man behind the one in front of you. That's a little difficult for some people to figure out. And when you find out that one and put him in line, then you're prepared to go out and search for the other ones. But the Lord may help you to find that one first and put him in line, and then seek to improve the others round about you, and we'll be on our way to a glorious future. That the Lord may help us so to do, I pray humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.